Why don't you go and run and hide? If you're scared of the big bad witch, why don't you go and run and hide? If you're scared of the big bad witch, who's afraid of Vagina Wolf? Who's afraid of Vagina Wolf? Why don't you go and run and hide? If you're scared of the big bad witch.
What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
More regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war.
Libertarianism.
On drugs.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
All right. So welcome to What Would Save the World. I am Tuke Edelo, and I am here with Darcy Leonard, and that was her singing earlier that you heard. And what's that song called?
Big Bad Witch.
Big Bad Witch. I love that Who's Afraid of Vagina Wolf. I think that is, like, absolutely hilarious.
Yeah,
and, like, important.
Little feminist pun there.
I mean, that's important. We should have way more feminist puns. We don't have enough of them. So what we're going to be talking about today is this is Girls Club, because you had a pretty crazy experience recently with some sexist bullshit.
Yeah, I was bumped from a radio slot for being accused of being a man basher.
Accused of being a man basher.
A man basher.
Oh, is it because you call men out on their shitty fucking behavior?
Yeah, that apparently is the trait that...
I don't understand, like, why all these people have to be like, oh, people are only calling out men for their shitty behavior. It's like, no, people call me out for my shitty behavior all the time, and I try to hold myself accountable to it. That's a big question I've been wondering, just, like, as a woman, I wonder, like, what are we supposed to do about these fucking men who have shitty fucking behaviors? Like, what do we do about them?
Yeah, well, or people that, really, my issue with this situation was, what do you do with guys that think they're on the right side?
Like, what do you mean by that? I'm, like, totally a good feminist, and
yeah,
I...
Yeah, exactly. But, like...
So all of them?
Yeah. But,
No, that's fucked up.
They're real close. They're real close. But it's, like, it's not... I wouldn't let anybody treat my mother or my sister or my wife like that. It's...
Mm-hmm, this, like, double standard.
Women don't get treated like that, you know? The situation I was in, this person decided to talk to me about some behavior of mine online, on social media.
The person who bumped you from the show?
Yeah, okay. And I'm not somebody that hides my viewpoints. Like, this person's been following me for a while. You know, when you book your guests on a radio show, you know, you have a certain due diligence to make sure they're people you want to on your show.
Mm-hmm.
And a week before I was to go on his show, he tried to have a side conversation with me on an email where he was like, look, I've been wanting to talk to you about this behavior of yours. And, you know, right there, I'm like, okay, we're already not in good territory. Like,
yeah,
the fact that it's like, I'm a grown ass woman.
Let me monitor your behavior.
Like, I don't need my behavior monitored or policed or, especially for stuff that I'm not even doing. You know, that's the thing. It's somebody's projection and perception on what I'm about.
It's not even like a clear cut thing. Doing this one thing.
Like, how do you argue with somebody that's just like saying something to you that's like, you're just this way? And you're like, oh, no, I am not. Who wants to have that argument anyway? It's like, I don't want, like, if you start defensive, like, you're not, and then, you know, being gaslit and this person is like telling me that they, you know, really are, you know, it's for my best interest.
It's for your best interest. Like, you need this. Like, I know better than you. I'm your daddy. That is so paternalistic.
I don't need any spankings. You're not my daddy. Like,
and I don't fucking do S&M with you.
Right, exactly. Where's the consent, bitch? You know?
Yeah, that is ridiculous. And also, it's like, it just made me think of something. Like, I thought about how nonviolent communication, like the pillar of nonviolent communication is if you have a problem with someone, you give them a clear problem with something they are doing.
Right.
Like, very, very, like, you can, right, like, think to yourself, oh, they're just, like, really shitty and, like, bashy and complaining. Like, you can, right, say, but, like, there's, like, and, like, for example, like, if I keep leaving the stove on and somebody in, like, my house, please, right, don't leave the stove on, or, like, a clear-cut action. Like, what he could, right, say to you is, I don't like that you're posting this and this and that. Well, then you could say, fuck that, I'm doing it anyway. But, right, it's, like, weird to just be like, you're a man basher. That's, like, this is so vague and weird.
This is what my problem was with it, was that I was the same person before he booked me on his show.
Mm-hmm.
But once he had me on his show, he thought he had the leverage to tell me some things about my behavior if I was going to go on his show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, the side conversations we're having, and this is the led to, you know, why we're calling this the girls club today, was, you know, telling him that this, you know, fairly white, fairly masculine, you know, let's face it, radio is predominantly white males, like, or at least, you know, the college radio level, or and particularly the radio that I seek to gain access to for promoting my music and my shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my first response to this person was, hey, I'm not coming on your show to talk about gender politics. Like, I'm coming to talk about my music.
Coming on my show to talk gender politics.
Yeah, I'm coming on your show to talk gender politics. But I was going on his show to promote my Halloween show. Like, a beautiful show I had at a church.
Mm-hmm.
We had a ritual to honor dead witches. And we had a show that was also around that with gorgeous dance, burlesque, Romani dance, buto. I sang a set as Songs for the Spirits. It was a very spiritual and beautiful show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like noticing my breath talking about this. I'm noticing that I'm like holding my breath and I'm like and that's the thing. Like, it's just, you know, once you start breathing like that, once you start, it's like, this is still it's over for this person, but it's still going on for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was literally asking access to a scene that I see as a real boys club. And this person's telling me, oh, you know, it's not a boys club, not a boys club. But you don't get access because you're too much of a radical feminist.
We don't like radical feminists here. We're really comfortable in our studio here in our basement. Speaking of which, he is not like that. But we have Jarrett, what's your last name again?
Berenstain.
Jarrett Berenstain here. And he's going to have a show called, you want to just come in the mic for a second and tell me about your show so we can just rep you real quick just because you're here?
Sure. It's going to be called Famous Dead Peoples, and it's going on every Monday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Cool. And it's going to be a comedy show, and he's here today. He is our male, but we're going to mostly tell him to shut up because this is Girls Club. And luckily, because I'm not a fucking asshole, he consented to this. He consented to me telling him to shut the hell up.
Yeah.
On my show. So I'm not just embarrassing him. You know, we're creating comedy together, all right?
Yes.
Like, we're working
dramatic
together.
Dramatic tension.
Yeah, exactly. Dramatic tension. So continue. I want to hear, I know there's another part of this, like the boys club aspect about somebody else he had on the show, right?
Well, I don't want to get into
Let's not do that. Sorry, I thought that's where you were going.
But the point is, I was like, can you vouch for like everybody you've ever had on your show?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they're And he was like, well, you know, no. mentioned somebody that had been on his show that we'd both already kind of agreed had crappy morals. And I was like, well, you had this guy on. And he was like, well, that's different because he had me on his show.
Yeah, and that's...
And I'm like, that's the boys' club. That's it right there. Is that you don't have this, like, empirical, like, set of morals and values that are, like, you know, you're Sir Lancelot and you just... They're so impenetrable.
Yeah, everybody's fucked on their values. You know? I'm super fucked on my values.
Yeah,
I try.
I mean, we're all way more flexible in our values than...
care to admit all the time.
Anytime we get into rigidity, that's where we're, like, you know, getting into problems, probably.
Yeah, there's a lot of fucking double standards. That's the first note I have on my question sheet. I have sexism and double standards. There we go. But, so this is a little bit of a segue.
One more thing about this situation.
Talk about it as much as you want.
The last part about it that really bothered me, though, was that after this person had harangued me and, I was still trying to go on the show because I'm trying to be like, eyes on the prize, bigger picture. You got to, you know, you want to start getting your music out there, girl? This is the kind of crap you're going to have to start dealing with, which is a terrible thought.
I mean, that's what, female musicians have to deal with. They're non-cis male.
Just think of it as practice. Just think of it as practice. I'm like, ugh. But this is why I left the music industry, you know, a while ago and started... centering my life around other values and other scenes, you know?
Yeah, I hear that. That's what kind of like partially why I stopped doing theater. It's like,
yeah.
What the hell is there for me? I'm a deep-voiced female
the
who
theater
doesn't...
Theater is very patriarchal in its hierarchy. And that's why theater was the first scene that I got out of for that. And then I was interested in things like experimental film, like, again, very... boys club, you know.
But there's a lot of great alternatives to all these scenes.
I did a lot of stuff with Dame Darcy, who's coming to Terror Society on the 9th with her Meatcake Bible. And she's a cartoonist, so comic book world, again, dudes, you know. It's like, what I said to this person that got him really upset was that I said, look, women and queers are self-organizing, and... we're going to have our own scenes and we're not going to need to, you know, we're not going to be groveling to be part of these scenes anymore.
But,
you know,
like, shut up.
Yeah. We don't need in your club. We can just make our own club. And guess what? That club's going to be awesome because it's going to be filled with awesome,
so many different kinds of people,
you know,
like
queers and, you know, people of color and, you know, outsiders and screwballs.
I mean,
you know?
That's what I'm honestly trying to do with this show is have as many perspectives on as possible. Yeah. Like, whoever has a perspective, I want them on here.
Yeah, and House of Screwball is our whole thing that we do. And that the concept behind Screwball for me is, like, to normal people, they look at all of us and they don't differentiate. They just go, oh, y'all are a bunch of screwballs, you know. So, like, why don't we get together like that, you know?
Do you want to...
And make... If you get enough others together, you actually make an us.
For sure. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about, like, House of Screwball, Terror Society, what that is for people who don't know?
So that is our production company that when we produce a show or a party outside of Terror Society... we're producing as House of Screwball, and that grew out of a club night I had in LA called Club Screwball.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm sorry to keep getting back on it, but the thing about the radio dude was after haranguing me, I didn't finish this, after haranguing me, he told me that he wanted me to come on and we'd laugh and have fun. He just wanted me to come on and we'd laugh. And we'd have fun. Come on, can't you just come on now after I've harangued you and, like, harassed you and antagonized you and also, like, threatened you with cancellation, which is kind of humiliating. I was like, do you want to humiliate me? Like, why did you book me if you were going to, like, even think about canceling me, you know?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, so I basically ensured that I wouldn't go on his show because I got sarcastic and I was like, I understand if I go on your show, I can only smile and laugh and have fun and, you know, like, that I can act within the prescribed range of emotions, you know, like, come on, like, do you, like, people, the, like,
that's
these guys
so
need
weird,
to understand,
dude.
Like, the unconscious and the underlying message of the things that they're doing, you know. Mm-hmm. As soon as he came to me with a a threat. You know, he's threatening taking away something that I need and want. You know, I need access to the media to promote my shows. I need access to the media to get my music out there. And he's taking that little, you know, bit of power he has, and he's like pulling it. You know, I ended up saying to him at the end, I was like, I don't judge you as a man. I judge you as a petty person being petty with their small amount of power.
I mean, but it's and, also, but I also feel like there's that, but there's also the aspect of that, like, he is a guy, and the fact that, like, yeah, there was
the
all this tension,
play this game.
The tension, and then you tried to tell him, like, how you felt about that, yeah, and then he's like, oh, well, oh, I feel bad that there was some, I, you know, I just don't have the ability to deal with your emotions, which is a deeper problem,
yeah, exactly,
which, like, goes beyond exactly him being an asshole or whatever. Yeah. There's this deeper problem where, like, men are trained to minimize the feelings of women and gaslight,
absolutely,
and, like,
absolutely,
they're just not. There's not a lot of societal conditioning given to men specifically to deal with their feelings. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately, about how affected our society is, or American society, by wars and trauma that the men got from, like, right, World War II, that they never were allowed to talk about. Like, I thought about that, like, literally, mm-hmm, the other day, how much that probably permeates society. And I just never thought of it before.
So much, so much. You know, I mean, men are depressed and isolated emotionally, and they're, you know, they just,
not all of them, but not all men,
not all of them, but like,
hashtag not all men,
hashtag not all men, right? but a lot of them, they just they hide, you know, and they are nonverbal with their communication of their feelings, so nobody thinks that they're, nobody sees their feelings, you know, like,
then it comes out in really fucking weird ways.
Yeah.
Like anger and petty bullshit.
I'm an empath, and I also studied acting and done a lot of self-reading on psychology, and just I'm just really fascinated about what makes people tick. And, you know, when I studied acting, you know, you learn to, you, one of the things you do to study is you look at people's body language, and you start, you know, I became really fascinated with reading people's body language, mm-hmm, and understanding, like, sometimes, like, the things that people aren't saying, and, you know, bringing that into a character. So your body can be saying one thing, your true feelings, while, you know, the dialogue is doing something else. But if you can, you know, reading, like, what I do as a palm reader, or the people that read cards, or
also tell people what Tarot Society is.
Okay.
But I want to make sure.
Right. So I'm a part of, I'm a founder of Tarot Society. We are a group of readers that read tarot, astrology, palmistry, and we read out of a gallery event space in Bushwick at 4 Charles Place. And we have walk-in readings, and you can make appointments by phone or email.
Sorry, I totally, like, interrupted you when you were, like, in the middle of a thing about palm reading and body language and acting.
Right. Okay. So all of what goes into reading is, you know, reading the cards and reading all of that, but you're also reading someone's energy. You're also, you know, sometimes reading their face, you know, their actual facial expressions. When I look into someone's palm, I can see a map of their personalities and, like, what's out of balance, what needs to come into balance, and these kinds of things. But the reading of people is something that I feel like is being, like, lost, and really that's, like, the nonverbal cues and things. It's really what, you know, men need to learn. And what women need to learn, too, that sometimes, you know, men are talking without talking. But at the same time, you know, it's like just you can't win, because it's like you want to learn how to read them without needing their words all the time. But at the same time, if you're always putting in that amount of emotional energy and emotional labor into figuring out, like, what some guy is thinking or feeling, you know, it's lost energy you could be doing, you know, other things with. And so I feel like everybody's, like, looking for the same, like, every guy and every woman are looking for the same ideal of masculinity that we don't have any templates for, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, I mean, there's no template, but I also think there's this like concept of masculinity that is like unfeeling or able to completely be self-sufficient with feelings, right, and deal with your, and I actually, I
that's
don't,
a bigger thing
I don't
that's
know
going
that's,
on the culture.
I don't know.
Like, that's
healthy.
The big lie of self-sufficiency they're trying to feed us.
Yeah, fuck that
because
bullshit.
That,
fuck that bullshit.
That
fuck
fuels
that Ayn
capitalism
Rand bullshit.
The best, you know? Yeah, that fuels capitalism the best. But it doesn't work, really. You know, I mean, Terror Society is a space that's like, you know, we have events and we have readings. But
go there.
I think what it is a lot is a community meeting place or like some, you know, hearth. You know, something to gather around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, it's a place where people can come when they're in different feeling states that aren't just, you know, party or consume. You know, like,
yeah,
where do you go?
I feel that.
When you're not in one of those like two states, like try to think of some place you can go with somebody that's not just at a park where you don't have to spend a lot of money, or you can just be there. That's, you know, like,
yeah, Tarot Society. I
churches,
have to say, I have
you know?
To say, from someone who's
churches.
Been there a bunch of times, Tarot Society is a really, really nice vibe. There's usually really great art on the walls. The people there are very introspective and are down to talk about a lot of things that at a party or a bar or a lot of other people won't have the conversations that I want to have. I don't know how other people feel,
right,
but I feel like part of what would save the world on Radio Free Brooklyn is to have the bigger conversations.
Yeah, let's talk about the real stuff.
And that's what I feel like we're kind of talking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like talk about the real stuff. And I feel like every time I've gone to Tarot, even if it's just like a show and there's just some musicians there and we're kind of hanging out, there's always people who want to talk about more than just like, oh, yo, you heard about Trump or... I mean, we talk about that too, but on a deeper level.
There's no way you can study something like astrology or tarot or palmistry, these systems of organization of human behavior, and not start to see some patterns, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And to see, like, just the, and but also to see more possibilities, too. I think people really, I feel like sometimes the main thing that I do is give people permission to inhabit their personality traits that are inherent, you know? I'm like, what are you doing with this creativity on your hand? Like, mm-hmm. What's your creativity? Oh, well, I used to do a thing and I don't do it anymore. Well, get back to that, you know?
Or another way to channel it. There's so many ways to creatively channel.
Sometimes I can definitely see that on a hand too, like that their creativity is a more of practical kind of creativity that's like problem solving. And yes, it's super needed. It's great, you know?
Yeah.
We need all the brains.
I kind of want to switch gears a little bit here. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about, I want to talk about your music a little bit. We're going to play one of your songs. Do you want to tell the story of the song first or after? How do you feel?
Let's play it first.
Okay, so this is called Dark Flower by Songs for the Spirits. It's Darcy's music. You can find it on SoundCloud, songs/songsforthespirits, right?
Yes.
They're like dashes between the words, I guess. Or just song, whatever, you'll find it. All right.
Ask the computer. Flower, dark
I've seen you, sister. I've seen you at the end of the night. I know you tried to stop them. I know you tried to fight. Dark flower.
All right, that was Songs for the Spirits by that was the Songs for the Spirits, Dark Flower by Songs for the Spirits. I'm having a hard time saying this.
Songs for the Spirits, Dark Flower.
Dark Flower by Darcy Leonard, who is with me right now. And Andrew DL. And you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is What Would Save the World. Every Wednesday from 3 to 4, I'm Tuke Edelo. And we are... We're having a girls club episode.
Girls club.
Listen, shut up. Sorry. We don't really need to hear your opinion on everything.
Go get us some tampons.
Yeah, and like, don't let them tax you for it. Yeah, that was Jared. I can never remember your last name. I'm having like a block. I always want to call you Bernstein.
I want 17% of your money.
But you're Jared. What? Jarrett Berenstein. I'm gonna remember that. Jarrett Berenstein, and he's gonna have a show called Dead Famous People on Radio Free Brooklyn. He's pretty cool, but like, he shouldn't talk during the girls club. So that song, Dark Flower, was about some like a really, really important story, and I'm gonna let Darcy talk about it.
Okay, so this song was inspired by the story of the Black Dahlia and but also a personal story of a friend of mine who was murdered doing sex work. And it's about the dark side of femininity, the danger that can be attracted to you by being a feminine bodied or identified person.
Why do you think that happens? What do you think it is about femininity? I mean, that's one of the questions I have written down for you, actually. I was like, what is femme? Like, what is feminine?
Well, yeah, that's...
That's so broad, but...
It's so broad, and I think the jury's out. I mean, I think that this is... We're a generation that's kind of figuring out a lot of these... Redefining these words and mm-hmm. figuring it out. I think of it... in the more like, you know, yin and yang way of passive and martial energies. Just like in the way that we talk about the planets and the way that they're operating or acting at a given time. They're either, you know, not doing anything really, or they're doing something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like this planet's in this placement or not active. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes. So like, you know, more of the water, like feminine being like water energies, like energies of
like emotion.
Yeah, emotion,
sentimentality,
nurturance, you know, the mother, a lot of things we identify with the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, mothering is for everyone. It's a verb, it's not really just an
Yeah, a lot.
Title.
I think that's one of the major mistakes that gets made by a lot of people is that like feminine being applied only to women or mothers. It's like, yes, that is true, but not necessarily. It could be applied to any kind of person.
Yeah, I like on mother. I mean, I have a hard time with Mother's Day. I don't have a great relationship with my mom. And on Mother's Day, I like to throw a little shout out to like all of the mothers, all the people that do the mothering. You know, because like I'm not a traditional mom. I don't have actual children, but you know, the kids around here call me Mama Darcy, and I'm always talking to them about their problems and helping them. You know, so if that's not mothering, I don't like, what is it?
Yeah. Know? Oh, they had to come out of my body.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so many people adopt kids anyway. I think you can
I adopt kids all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I adopt adults.
I adopt. Yeah. Forming adults. Like, I kind of like help with like the last stages, put the finishing touches on there.
Yeah. But do you want to talk more about the sex work and like how that sort of work? I'm also a sex worker, so I have a lot of thoughts on this. Like, I don't like the current sex industry, but I think
before we move on to that, I just want to say that I really think that, you know, one of the ways that we're gonna make this girls' club really happen because. Yeah, I'm calling for the girls' club to happen. Like, we don't need to be part of their thing. We need to make our own thing. It's about mentorship. You know, if you, I learned how to be a promoter and how to do shows and how to do promotion through mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
I was mentored by Billy Verwaine, an infamous music promoter in Boston, and by my peers. You know, but. This is the way we get ahead. You know, if we all teach each other the things we know or share what the resources we have with each other and not, you know, keep giving them away to, you know,
the same kinds of people here and there and there,
you know, dudes.
And also that weird, like, holding on to the lessons in this competitive way. Like, last night, I didn't get into this theater festival I wanted to get into, but, like, people kept being like, oh, it's okay, it's okay. I'm like, I'm not upset. Like, I love theater. Like, I don't need to be the... Like, it's. I guess what I'm saying is I don't like the competition.
Right.
I think that's part of what I think is going to happen. I think that's what's going to happen when we bring in more feminine characteristics, like a more nurturing, supportive world or artistic communities. And I feel like a lot of artistic communities can be very like they're just like clicky and weird, and I don't really like that. Like, this, like, let me push you down to be pulled up. I don't feel pulled up when I push other people down personally.
I mean, like, of the ideal of motherhood is that if a mother had a bunch of different children, that she loves all her children equally.
Mm-hmm. Or in different ways.
Like, in different ways.
Everybody
know,
has
appreciates. That's the way I look at, you know, the people that I mentor is like, wow, they're like so capable in these ways, and they teach me, and I learn and
yeah. There's never like a set teacher either in my experience.
Yeah, it's the teacher and the student kind of sloshing back and forth all the time. But it's important that women that know things mentor other women who don't know the same things.
Definitely.
You know, and like reach back and help pull them up, because there's a tendency in the boys club to every once in a while, like, they'll let a girl in. I call this the Wendy, you know, the Wendy is over in never land with the Lost Boys.
Oh, we need her to be our mother, and suck all
right,
our dicks.
Exactly. And
I've been the Wendy.
Everybody I know knows what I'm talking about when I say this.
Let's get shirts that say, don't be the Wendy.
Yeah, don't be the Wendy. This is my advice to ladies. Don't be the Wendy. Okay?
Yo, be Peter, because Peter... Because
you're...
It was like Mary Martin.
If you subsume parts of yourself to fit in with anybody, but especially with the boys' club... You're impoverishing yourself. You're impoverishing part of yourself that comes back roaring.
And we're not saying don't work with men, but what we are saying is don't let it be this thing where, like, I feel like there's this whole thing that goes on where women, because of that, like, Wendy factor, women feel pitted against other women to be successful in their arts. And I think that that's... Like, again,
it's
that's
called
not,
relational aggression.
Relational
and, it's
and internalized sexism,
in the way
too.
That women are aggressive... You know, like, that we love to say that, like, women aren't aggressive, you know, that they're like I'm generalizing a lot here. OK, so, like, internet, please don't write a million comments. I'm generalizing. So in the general way, women are told to be people pleasers and to subsume their needs and put men first, you know, and their needs first.
Oh, yeah.
And that really doesn't do a lot for you as a person when you put other people's needs first.
I think, like, that definitely a balance there.
Yeah, it's hard for you to get ahead with your own goals.
I mean, I guess I don't know what you think of this. I always think of people talk to me a lot about my anti-capitalism views, and people are like, well, don't you think people need rewards for their work? And I'm always like, well, my reward for my work is if, like, everybody is able to get their needs met.
Right? Like, hey, nobody's suffering. That's a reward.
Yes, like, but I think some of that also, there might be some elements in there of that, like, accommodate, like, woman thing.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But do you want to talk more about the Black Dahlia? Or do you want to go somewhere?
So, my friend that died there, she had a chronic history of mental health problems, and she had a mother with mental health problems, and she didn't get her needs met, you know? I guess what I've been thinking about with her and some of my own stuff too is how the wound of unmothered mothers can, like, be generational. It can really, like, pass it down. That, like, if you, you know, one of the things we bonded as teenagers over, because this my friend Pippin Rowe, who this song is dedicated to.
You heard Dark Flower earlier.
Dark Flower. She and I bonded because we both, I now think, or I've realized that a lot of my friends that I had when I was a teenager and a young adult also had trauma abuse histories. You know, like that, I was like, what is this thing we all have in common? Oh, it's trauma. You know, it's that all this weird acting out and, you know, getting drunk and being hypersexual and stuff is all just trying to figure out how to, like, live through trauma and be a person again. And, you know, I found, you know, my teenage friend groups, you know, were very important to me. You know, the friend family I was able to create for myself was deeply healing because I was able, you know,
to have people to talk to.
They say you have the logical family and your biological family. And if, you know, your chosen friend family can be very important when your identity and your who you are aren't accepted or a part of the mainstream culture.
Yeah, and I think a lot of youth feels that way, particularly because I feel like there's a lot of emphasis on not talking about your feelings. We just go right back to this, and something that makes me think, you know, talking about, like, women who have mental health problems, and I think that a lot of people have mental health problems, but I want to say something real quick. I also wonder if there's something where, like, you know, that mental illness is real and, like, inner pain is real, but I do think that there is something where women are very often, like, pointed, like, they're like told that they are sick because they have certain feelings, and, like, I think that a lot of mental illness comes
pathologized.
From, please explain that.
Like, if you're a woman, often your normal feelings are pathologized. So you're not just sad, you're a hysterical woman, you know, like
there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
And I feel like that,
like, what are you doing? And or
that
and, but it's also
mental
always
illness.
Put on the person with the mental health problems to solve their own problems. So it's like, Jesus, you're a mess. What are you doing about it?
But
you
also know? Isolation in that way, I think, is what creates mental illness sometimes, or makes it worse, or develops, like, the...
It becomes this chicken and egg thing.
Exactly. It becomes, like, the PTSD cycle that I experience in my mind, where it's like... Oh, I feel this way. I should talk about it. But if I talk about it, the same thing's going to happen that always happened, where, like, you know, people I was close to told me that my feeling that I was overreacting, that I was too sensitive, that there's something wrong with me. And then there's a lot of anxiety that comes with that. And luckily, I have people in my life now that are able to hear me out on that, or at least, like, they're like, if I tell them my cycle, they're like, they feel empathy for me and they want me to do what I think I need to do about it. But the problem is it's been so beat down that I don't know if it's really okay to talk about it, even though I have people that I'm like, I'm pretty sure, like, in my, when the most logical, when I can remove myself from those trained chemicals, I can be like, oh, well, they genuinely do care and genuinely do want to help and encourage me to do whatever I need. They're like, do you need therapy? Do you need to talk to me? Do you need this? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, exactly. And you're just, you're overwhelmed, and yet it's still somehow on you to figure it out.
You know?
Like, we really have a terrible, terrible way we deal with mental health in this country.
Oh, yeah.
My friend who this song is about is maybe one of the people that in some ways inspired me to be a healer, because, you know, I couldn't fix her wounds, you know? I couldn't do it. They were... none of her friends could. Nobody could, you know? And she couldn't either. And everybody tried. And, you know, to have... But she was cheated of her chance to continue trying because she was murdered. And she was actually doing really well when she passed. And
she just happened to, you know... It's scary to be a sex worker.
Yeah.
It's a very...
She was playing a devil's bargain, you know, because she didn't have other skill set available to her.
Or monetizable.
And she needs some money. She'd just gotten out of the hospital, and she needed some money, you know. She was in the hospital for extended stay. But also what bothers me is that originally, her death was reported as a suicide because she was found in the woods, and that was so easily accepted. The, mm-hmm. the reason it came out that it was a murder and all of the stuff around it is very peculiar. This person should not have been found, frankly, and I think that she stuck around on this plane to, like, make sure she got justice. She was kind of like, not this time, buddy.
Oh my God.
You know, because she had a history of dealing with abuse. And, you know, I love her a lot. And I just feel like she didn't have a chance, you know, especially the way things are set up. And, you know, this is, I think about her because she's somebody I knew personally. But she's just an example in a lot of ways, too.
It's an important example because it's also, like, and I was talking before about, like, sex work and, like...
Yeah.
I mean, like, that could
how
really...
stigmatized.
Yeah, how stigmatized any of that...
Isolates.
Yeah, and also just...
And that's what Dark Flower is about, is that the isolation can cause you harm. You know, it can be dangerous.
It can, and also just... It makes me think about how, like, there's a part of me that feels like sex work makes sense on a level as a more complicated thing, but it just makes me think about what we were talking about, like the competition and weird stuff with like the Wendy stuff, and that goes on in sex work. And there's a part of me that always wants to look out for other women that work in the same kind of work I do, and I do look out for them, but a lot of other women don't.
Right.
I know there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on there, and that's what makes me think. It makes me go like, oh my God, like, if that's what she was doing, like, that's fine. But I wish that, like, there had been even more. I wish it was something that could be. There's a lot of talk between legalization versus deregulation, but whatever. It's like, why isn't there, like, why wasn't she allowed to have a protective team there? Or, like, you know what I mean? It's more than it's just making me have racing thoughts about all that stuff.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? That's a whole other way women are totally, like, fucked over, because men really want sex from women. Not men,
right,
but straight men. A lot of men really want sex from women. And I don't actually think there's anything wrong with paying for it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with paying for sex. But the fact that it is so demonized and made illegal, and sex workers are viewed as dirty.
I think that
and
if
like
it
that,
was
you know,
safe, if it was safe tomorrow, if it was like, there was, you know, people could know that, you know, like, if every time John wanted to get with a prostitute or a sex worker, he had to, like, register or something and, like, be very upfront about it, show his credit, give his credit card, you know, it'd be public or I don't know. I mean, these are not great ideas, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's more to it. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Hypothetically, if it was just like, okay, you know, guys get no stigma attached, women get no stigma attached, I think it's like everybody be in business tomorrow.
We'd live in a better world. Like,
we'd have like so many more sex workers. You know, it's the fear of the
danger. What happened to your friend?
What happened to my friend? Like my what happened to my friend is like the warning story, and the local media wrote this sensationalistic piece about her that was so after school special, like gagorific,
demonizing sex workers and women more,
or just, you know, that she was just a poor woman, and you know, look at what happened to her because. And it's like it's
not
just
even
so one-dimensional,
who the fuck
you know.
She was as a
right,
person.
Like she was like a really cool artist who wrote beautiful poems, and she did these great paintings of like aliens and like purples and greens, and did all these beautiful assemblage, like you'd use like collage in her painting work, and went to museum school, and you know she studied, and you know tried really hard to like. Always like better herself, you know, that's why it was like so it didn't make sense that she would kill herself. Like why would you try so hard to like keep living and keep living, keep living, and then finally give up?
Did you know that it wasn't that deep down?
I think that I did, you know, when I was at there was something when I was at the service that just didn't like I didn't feel like it was over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was like, why is this, you know. But I was just I was plagued for a while after I kept calling my friend Tracy McCullion, who's a filmmaker. We made a film together called Gash that Tracy made. It was Tracy's film, and I starred in it with Pip and Roe, and it's a very transgressive film. It's in 16mm black and white, and it's about we play sisters in an abusive family who are dealing with our trauma in different ways of acting out by drinking and being hypersexual and by being aggressive and fighting with each other. You know, so it's just a portrait of how the trauma in a family just ricochets around. It follows. Yeah,
you.
It just keeps bouncing around. You know, it never ends, and it's a really intense movie. It's very.
I want to see that.
Yeah, but I kept writing Tracy and I'm being like, I feel like we have to like try to do a spell or a seance or there's, you know, I went to a psychic and I talked to my friend Pippin after it came out that her murderer was found, and you know, and talk about people, masculine inability, feelings, things. I just got a text up from my dad out of the blue that was like, hey, I just saw your friend Pippin's murderer on the TV. You know, I was like, okay, I just went to her funeral for suicide a couple months ago.
Even man in the room looks appalled.
Yeah, he's got very arched eyebrows. The like, what? Face. Yeah, so I was like, but, you know, I was like, thanks, Dad. And because I wanted to talk to her directly, you know, and I know, like, the song says, you know, I know. I got an image from meeting with the psychic, and it was like I saw her, and I was like, I know you tried to stop them. I know you tried to fight. You know, that's me telling her, like, I know you did everything you could,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I wish there was more I could have done, you know, because that's the thing that I think a lot of women feel when they read any of these stories. It's like, I wish I could have done something.
Well, that's, you know, why we need to have like a girls club.
Yeah,
and you and I
have
been talking a little bit.
We have to be proactive. We have to be before the trauma.
And you and I have
been before the crisis.
Well, you and I have been talking a little bit. Like, we have little bits and pieces about like maybe starting some sort of trauma group.
Yeah.
At maybe tarot. I think that was the idea. I think that there is
so much
group that support that needs to exist. Like, not just for women necessarily. I mean, I don't know how we were planning on doing that group, but I feel like this is so, like, the trauma from the anti-emotional, like, the isolating culture. We talk about, like, you know, men who feel like they can't talk about their feelings, or men who have this or that, yeah. Da, 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 women who, da, da. I mean, I met these amazing women from Black Women's Lives Matter. I went to this communities conference. I've talked about this a little on the show before, where they were talking about how much the Black community experiences trauma, mm-hmm. and how much, but the processes they spoke of are universal. Like, one of the things I talked about is the group blowing in their trauma into balloons, tying them up and putting them in between each other and trying to hug to feel how much, like, the trauma has gotten in the way between connecting with other people. And I feel like all this stuff, specifically with, like, women or people who have been traumatized by men specifically, which are men also, there's just this like, fear. Like, I feel like I am, like, so afraid to connect to other women or other people in general because of this stuff. Like, I'm talking about, like, the cycles, and then also stuff about, like, going and burning your trauma three times on pieces of paper or reading it out loud to a room. And then also, that's something that was, like, sounded a little Christian to me, but it doesn't really matter to me if it's Christian or not, because all things have great ideas within them. And the idea to, like, have, after all of this is done, have people walk down, like, two lines of people and, like, almost be reborn. And when they're going through, the people telling them what it's going to be like for them when they get to the other side, like, when they're reborn without their trauma. And I really want to start a group or something like that. I hope that, like, people who are listening, if you're interested in something like this, you keep an eye out for something like this starting at Terror Society. And even so, you should be going over there anyway.
Thanks so much, Took. I agree. You know, it's like inter socially, like, we have a very weird way that we deal with people who are we call crazy, you know, mm-hmm. or acting crazy. We're like, mm-hmm. you know, we can see our friend, then they're in one, we have this one concept of them, and then something happens to them and they're acting differently, and everybody goes, "Oh my God, they are crazy," you know,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't do anything, because it's like those balloons. It's the pushing away that's over there, that the problems are always somewhere else, far away from you. And if anything gets to you, you just push it right back away. You know,
push it back away.
Well, or that instead of going, "Hey, like, my friend is having problems. Maybe I can help them. Maybe, hey, you know," like,
wouldn't
it be great if what people did was go, "Hey, I observed that our friend with mental health problems, that's not great at understanding their own things that are going on with them, is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should all help them out more now."
Like a loving intervention
Yeah, I mean, we know to do that during, like, extreme trauma. Like, people know if somebody's, like, you know, it's funeral time. Get in there. Try to support them.
With almost
bring the casserole, you know.
With almost every other kind of trauma, there's this element of, like, well, did it really happen to you?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
Like, what were you wearing?
Yeah.
Or, like, why? What were you doing
to put
yourself
in
this situation?
Or you're allowed a certain amount of time, and then it's like, oh my God, are you still dealing with this?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not well-read enough to understand that, like, your brain cycle, your chemicals literally got rearranged from this.
Yeah, healing is not linear, and it's really frustrating to, you know, make friends and trust somebody and confide in them about trauma history or having something like PTSD, and then have them act like, what's going on when you have an episode of it in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, this is why I told you this happens sometimes, is so that when it's happening, you can observe and go, oh, that's that anxiety attack, PTSD freak out thing mm-hmm. going on. Not like, you're a fucking bitch.
I can, like, honestly relate to that. I've, like, dated people, had friends where I'm like, no, you don't understand, like, literally what's happening to me right now is I'm, like, not functioning right now. Like,
right.
I can't handle certain smells.
Yeah, I've tried
certain
to explain
songs.
To my partner too. I'm like, you're having a fight with me. I'm fighting for my life. I'm fighting to not die. You know, I'm feeling I'm gonna die. You know, like. And you're just having, like, a regular old argument, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. There could easily be groups for partners of people who are victims of trauma. And I think that probably exists with modern psychology and stuff. But I also feel very weird about the modern psychiatric. It's so, like, cold and weird. It's not very warm.
Hey, it's still a really new science. it's still really new. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and that's something we need, like, psychology needs, tries to act like it's like the other sciences or other medical fields where it's all diagnosable and stays in fixed boxes of diagnosis, and it's not true. You know, it's all subjective. It's all interpretive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at least in what I do, we acknowledge that. We understand that it's an interpretive thing. And, you know, that's why one of the reasons I try to have, you know, people need to understand that, like, you really shouldn't just get readings from just anybody, because it's kind of like allowing anybody access to mess with your head a little. You
know? Even if they don't know what they're doing, you tell anybody something during a reading, even if they don't believe it, they'll be thinking about it or be trying to do the opposite. Yeah, there's like a power there no matter what.
Yeah, or just it's just somebody who can't interpret it in a way that's like accurate or gives you like a more shallow interpretation.
So I want to say we have about like 4 minutes left and I want to get to your other song. So okay. I want to say real quick, you've been listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is What Would Save the World. I'm here every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. If you have any thoughts on this show, if you want to be on a show, if you have any ideas for topics, please email me at took@radiofreebrooklyn.com. You can also check out my Facebook page, .com/whatwouldsavetheworld. I'll be sharing info about Tarot Society and things on this episode on that page. And if you like Radio Free Brooklyn, you can donate to us at patreon.com/radiofreebrooklyn. We are a community radio. We do not we don't censor our radio people. It's a community. It's all lots and lots of different kinds of people have shows on Radio Free Brooklyn. You could even submit for season 5. We're going to start season 4 in the next like week or so, so it'll be a while, but you can submit. And also, we just had a record store move upstairs from our studios at 1345 DeKalb Avenue. It's called the Secondhand Records. Get ready to dance with Radio Free Brooklyn's newest partner, Secondhand Records. And you can also go to secondhandrecordsnyc.com to buy, sell, trade and any of your favorite records 7 days a week, 12 to 8 p.m. or shop anytime online. Like I said, it's right by the Central Avenue M stop. All right, so I just wanted to pitch that real quick, and I want to say, Darcy, thank you for being here. I want to play your song. We got like another minute or two if you want to say any closing statements. This has been an awesome show.
Thanks so much, Took. Yeah, just everybody, you know, keep your chin up and keep it witchy.
Keep it witchy. And also, again, like, go check out Tarot Society. You'll be able to see it on my Facebook page for the show, like I said. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play Maiden Mother Crone by Songs for the Spirits. You can find, that's Darcy's songs. You can find it on SoundCloud. Here we go. Might have to come back for like a few seconds at the end, but here we go. Thank you for listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. Eh?
I walk with my grandmothers. I am never alone. I am never alone. I am never alone. I'm the maiden. I am the mother. I'm the crone. I'm never alone. I'm the maiden. I am the mother. I'm the crone. I walk with my grandmothers. I am never alone. I am never alone. I am never alone.
All right. And here's Darcy to explain that before the show cuts out. You have like 10 seconds.
This is a song spell. It calls in your matriarchal ancestors and also calls you to send energy to your past and future selves and to pull in energy from both of those.